He is a guest speaker, but obviously he's not a guest. And if you don't know Jeff yet, in an hour or so when he gets done with his sermon, you will know him because he expresses his character as he preaches. Jeff and Carol have been supporting the missions in Haiti. They currently have Hope Mission in Haiti. I'm sure he's going to tell you about it. Several of us have had the opportunity to go there. I went with a college group 33 years ago this December. They are our missionaries of the month. So if you would pray with me, we'll ask God to bless that ministry. Father, we want to thank you for Jeff and Carol. We thank you for lives saved and lives changed through their dedicated work. We thank you for the sunshine that shines through them. Lord, we lift up Hope Ministry and the many other things that they're involved in, and ask that you would continue to bless them, give them the energy to do the work that you've laid before them. In Christ's very precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. You can leave that up for a minute. Those of you who know me wouldn't be a bit surprised if I told you I was on the receiving end of that at least once. I've also been on the receiving end of that spiritually. I'll tell you a little bit about both of them. Many, many years ago, Terry Kuzak was moving from here, and he had a condition that just didn't allow him to move much, to breathe much, and he was on oxygen, but in between, they asked some of us with strong backs and weak minds to go help him. I knew my name was called. Back then, I had a strong back. Anyways, as I was loading the U-Haul, he set me down after each load and said, "Hey, just a minute." And he'd say, "You know, are you going to heaven?" I'd say, "Well, I hope so." He said, "Man, you need more than hope, buddy." And I took a load, and he said, "Sit down." There was five other guys. He picked on me, and he's like, "Sit down." And he says, "You know, it takes three things: knowledge, faith, and action." That's about all he could say. And I took another load out, come back. He said, "Sit down." And he said, "Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You got knowledge." And I took another load out. He said, "Sit down." He said, "Okay. Do you believe it's really true that he died for you?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Do you believe you'll go to heaven?" I said, "Well, I hope so." So I went back out, and he said, "Now, if you were in a building that was on fire in a movie theater, and a guy came in with a suit on and said, 'Hey, we're on fire, you need to leave. If you don't leave, what's going to happen?'" I said, "You're going to burn up." He said, "Son, if you don't take action, you're going to burn up." Terry Kuzak, thank you. Another time, foolishly, Hurricane Erin, if you want to look that up, had 12-foot seas. Me and some unknown daughters of mine were out there scuba diving and came up and got them safely on the boat. I got Dean safely home. You're supposed to save the people you go with. And man, I was spent. The song at the beginning, "Are you at the end of your rope?" I was at the end. The guy threw this life ring to me, and I just couldn't grab it. And he screamed and screamed at me. He said, "Hang on, grab that, you idiot, grab that." And somehow I hooked it, and he launched me into that boat. My daughters couldn't believe I was in need. You can take that off. That's the thing with us. Sometimes we don't know we're at the end of our rope. Sometimes we don't know how broken we are, and we need to listen to that voice, and sometimes we have to be that voice to scream out to someone that they need help, even though they don't realize it. And I think that rescue is something that we miss, how much we need it, even in the state that we are today, and how much our loved ones around us need it. And when we can get that, we'll take action. And that requires action. So I got a couple things. First slide here, some of a little bit younger than me. Let's see if we get this right, from Diego. Maybe that'll help you. Anybody remember this? Rescue pack. I mean, that thing was cool. He had all kinds of kites. Anybody remember that or have one? We got some. It's the crowd over here. Anybody here? Some of you aren't going to. Yeah. I looked on eBay. They're only worth about $30. If you still got it, you might want to hang on to it. Okay. How about this one? There's someone in the crowd this should please.
Oh,
Okay. So, hope you appreciated that. Some of you remember Lassie, and our kids have a dog named Tank, and I'll tell you, he sleeps at the guard duty every now and then, and if we pull in, he's embarrassed, and he'll run out just woof, 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 and he's just having a fit. I'm like, what is it, boy? What is it? Nick does a real good stand-up of that, but Lassie rescued Timmy and several others, the old miner down the well. There was a lot of times Lassie just came to the rescue, and we need that rescue. There's another movie out. I just watched it this year. It's The Guardian. We're not going to show a clip on that, but it's through the Coast Guard. And a couple of emotional parts in that. The rescue diver comes, and he just explains, this was part of their training, I'm a Coast Guard rescue swimmer. I'm here to help. If you think about that, again, how much we need that help. To lighten things up just a little bit, Jake and Elwood came to the restaurant and said, we're on a mission from God. I think they could have stole that, the Blues Brothers, from Paul and Silas. And we want to get into a little bit of background on that. I think we've got a slide just of Paul's second missionary journey. And I believe he started out somewhere in Jerusalem, went up to Antioch, Syria, Tarsus, Iconium, then to another Antioch, then over to Mysia, Troas, Neapolis, and then hit Philippi, is where he really started in this call from Macedonia. Now, Macedonia, actually, I think I learned this week that Thessalonica is the capital. However, Philippi was one of the major cities. So, like, if someone came to Michigan, am I not doing good? Already I'm in trouble. Oh, jeez. When you bring people in off the bench, you can't expect much. Oh, you held out the good one, didn't you?
I held out the good one.
Oh, he didn't want me sweating on his good one. Okay. That's good enough for Jeff. Thanks, brother.
Yeah. I figured you gotta take that pack out there.
You're not going to do that?
I'm not going to take that.
Come on. After you go to Haiti with me, you'll do that.
We're friends, but...
I'm sorry about that. Okay, are we ready again? Okay. Yeah, you're doing that really good. Okay, we're going to get there. So, what's the capital of Michigan? This is our first quiz. There you go, you did that well. And the capital of Thessalonica, or Thessalonica is the capital of Macedonia. We all done? Okay, all right, I get extra 3 minutes for that one. Oh, he tries to cut me in any way he can. Okay, so here's some background on Paul and Silas. So, Paul used to be named Saul. You're going to do good on this. If you get the second part of this question right, there's a prize for you. Okay, so the second part of this question is, Paul needed rescuing. He didn't realize he needed rescuing. He met Jesus on the road. But where did he hear the message of salvation? I'm waiting. Where? Damascus is correct. Who said that? Very good. See, we've heard on radio so much that Paul was saved on the road. He just recognized he needed help on the road, but it wasn't until he went into Damascus, and it would be a rescue swimmer said, I'm on a mission from God. This is what you need to do. And he did it. What he told him was, why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash your sins away. So even the Apostle Paul, before, when he was a Jewish leader, he was a very religious person, much like many of us are, but he didn't realize he needed rescuing. But when he heard that clear message from Ananias, who was a little bit reluctant to give it, but God told him, you need to do this, when he spoke clearly the message of God, Saul became Paul and became a great apostle. So he went with Barnabas and did a journey, his first missionary trip, And then later on they discussed and said, you know, we'd ought to go back and encourage those churches. And this is what prompted his second missionary trip. So they wanted to take John Mark. And Paul didn't think that was a good idea because he left them. And you know, as I think about that now, Paul received a lot of beatings. His typical thing was, hey, Saturday, let's go down to the local synagogue, tell them the truth about Jesus. They're not going to like it. They're going to beat us. They're going to leave us for dead, and we'll get back up and do it next Saturday. Who wants to sign up for that mission trip? Okay, John Mark didn't think that was such a good idea. So Barnabas had a different way. So there's different mission trips out there. Don't be afraid if somebody's a little bit too bold. There's other ones out there. You can take it incrementally. So at any rate, Paul took Silas, but then for some reason they wanted to take a young man with them. Why do you suppose they wanted to do that? See, to have success, you need a successor. So in everything we do, if we're getting to be my age and we haven't taught other people what we do, and you got a business and you don't have someone to take over your business, or you have some family values or family stories and you haven't passed them down yet, you're in trouble. Because we need to be training people up to do that. And Paul was very much aware of that. So they chose Timothy. And there was some discussion in the churches about what it took to become a Christian. And the Jews were pretty adamant that you had to be circumcised. And as Andy would normally say, this is a message for you fathers to have with your sons later on the way home. Thank you very much. Send your hate mail to Andy. So we'll go into this. And it's really a simple procedure, they tell me. And it would be kind of like taking just a little flesh like off in your ear, like if you just took your earlobe off. It's not exactly that, but something like that. But the Jews thought you needed to do that, and yet Jesus said, you know, we want to take all the roadblocks away. We want to make it easier for it to come to salvation, and that's grace. So there was a big discussion, and they decided, no, you don't have to do that anymore. So they wrote a letter and said, you no longer have to have this operation. And Paul was going to take it to all these places, and they decided to take Timothy along. There's only one problem. His mother was a Jew, and his father was a Greek, so he had never had that operation. Now he's a young man, and they say, well, we'd like you to go along with us, take this message that you don't have to have this operation, but we'd like you to have this operation to go with us. Anybody tracking with me on this one? The kid's like maybe 16, 17, hadn't had the operation as though he hadn't had his earlobe cut off. And now Paul is saying, well, we'd like you to cut your earlobe off so you can go with us to tell people you don't have to cut your earlobe off. I'm not sure if I traveled on that one. But he was willing, and I'd say he's a good candidate to be a missionary, because sometimes you're going to be asked to do things. As we get into this text, it'll talk about as we lived amongst you. And we're not there to turn people into Americans. We're not there to turn people into badgeros. We're just there to share people the love of Jesus Christ. Now, you may be asked to follow some of their customs. Ladies may be asked if you go someplace to wear dresses. And you might whine and complain about that, and you know, but sometimes you might find out they're cooler. And another custom they have, in some places they don't have bathrooms, and they don't have outside bathrooms. And I hear, I don't know this from experience, but I hear that sometimes if you have a dress on, it may be easier to stop on the roadside and go potty than it is if you have to take your slacks off. But just that's something to think about. So some of their customs they have, there's a reason for them, and you might learn that hey, that's a pretty good idea. So Timothy was willing to go along. So they went along, and as they went, they kept being blocked. You can't go here. You can't go here. You can't go. Even though God told them to go, and what they were going to do was a good thing, but they kept being blocked. Can't go here, can't go here, can't go here. And then finally they were welcomed into Philippi. And I think about some of the things we've done in our mission. And for a time we were drilling wells. And we were drilling wells and we kind of got the hang of it. And Steve Mathis heard about it. And Steve's always been a good supporter. And Steve has gone several times. And Steve and Carol and I went in around New Year's and we're going to drill wells. Went to the first house and said, hey, want to drill you a well tomorrow morning? And they said, oh, man, that'd be great. But we're thinking of moving in 3 or 4 years, and we'd hate to have you go through all that trouble. We can just walk down here and get water a mile away. We're like, yeah, but we're going to put it right here, and for the next year, you wouldn't have to, what? Nah, we're going to move in a year or two. But Candace, he needs a house. So we're not doing houses. We're going to drill wells. So we go to the next place, say, hey, we'd like to drill a well for you. Say, oh, man, that'd be just great. But, you know, last year, a neighbor got a well drilled. He's only about a quarter mile down the road. We're like, yeah, but we'd put it right by your house. It's like, no, we really don't need that. But Candace needs a house done. And we go back and tell Carol, this is just crazy. We can't find anybody. So we go to a third place and ask somebody. Nah, they didn't need a well either. And we had all this equipment. So we go to Candace and we pitch the well to him, of course, because I'm hard-headed. This is a good thing. And Candace says, well, you know, maybe. And we look around at his house, and my wife describes it as the birdhouse. It was just twigs with newspaper stuck in between it, about 8 by 10. And I looked at Steve, and Steve looked at me, and we went back and got counsel from Carol, and she said, boys, you'd ought to do more praying than talking. And we prayed, and God said, you'd ought to build a house. So we built this house, and I don't know if Cecil's here now or any of you builders, but usually 12 blocks makes an 8-foot basement, I think. So we said, well, I didn't want to do a peak. It was just going to be 10 by 12. We'll do 14 on one and 12 on the other. And so Steve and I did the foundation. We poured the slab, and we left the block layers to do the block work. And when we got back, they did like 1.5 inches in between each mortar joint. And so this building, instead of being 8 foot high, was like 13 feet high on one side and 10 on the other. And I was a little disgusted, and it's only 10 by 12. I'm like, oh, you wasted money. That's not a good thing, and I'm mad. But it's like, well, okay, whatever. So we leave. Well, then 3 or 4 years later, a youth group came in with Mike and Kim, and I was just looking for a job to do, and I said, well, you guys could go over there and build a loft. There's this house that's like 13 foot tall. Put a 7-foot loft in there, and it'll double their floor space. So a crew went over and did that, and I thought, well, that was kind of a good thing. Something good came out of it. And about 4 years later, the cyclone genie came, or the hurricane genie. And they said, genie's a meanie. And if you've heard of typhoons and cyclones, there's a storm surge that comes from the ocean, and the water came up and held at 7 foot high for 12 hours. Now, I don't know if you were in the bay, sitting there at East Bay, where the park is, I don't know how water could come up all the way and flood Wendy's and everything there, all the way out to Myers, 7 foot high, and stay there for 12 hours. I don't know how that can happen, but it did. And Canis and all of his family got up on that loft and were rescued because of some of the help that was done here. And so sometimes that's just exciting to see how God works things out on his timing. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy end up in Philippi. What do you think they did the first Saturday? They went to the synagogue, and they preached the truth to help rescue people who didn't think they needed being rescued. And how do you think they were received? Yeah, not too bad. Then the second week, they went again, Saturday, because you're supposed to go to the Jews first. Now, third week, they went again. By then, some of the Jews had caught up to them who didn't think too much of them, and they had a rock and roll party. They kind of stoned them, and then they just kind of left them there. So that didn't go all that well for them. I'm wondering what Timothy's thinking about all this right now. Like 3 weeks in a row, you go this place, they don't like you that well, then they stone you. I think Mark had the good idea here, but he hung in with them. So they went on at Philippi. They did the same routine, and a slave girl kept bugging them. And the slave girl says, these are the men of the Most High God that will teach you how to be saved. Seems like a good thing. I would think, well, what's wrong with that? But day after day she did that and irritated Paul so much, he turned around and said to the demon, come out of her. And the demon did. He rescued the girl. However, the slave owners who owned that girl, who could tell the future, and she did tell the truth about Paul and Silas, weren't too happy because they lost all their means of making money. So they rounded up some characters from the market. And if you want to find some bad characters, usually go to an open market, and for just a few dollars, they'll burn the American flag or they'll burn the Haiti flag or whatever flag you want to burn. Another time during the Revolution, a huge American flag, like a 10 by 16 flag, was being burned, and the news cameras just happened to be there. You couldn't buy a Haitian flag there. I said, I wonder how the American flag got there. And I found the newsman and invited him to leave so he would be rescued from me. Because I said, if you don't leave, you'll need rescuing. So some of those things you see on TV aren't necessarily the truth. I think that newsman brought in his thing, and he was paid to get a story. just as these false witnesses were paid to tell a false testimony. Now, Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. Before they put them in jail, they beat them. Immediately, I think Paul knew he had a get-out-of-jail-free card. Because if you get beat before you get sent to jail, they'll let you out. It's kind of like if you don't get told your rights. So some criminals are pretty savvy about that. I had an uncle who was a policeman as well, and he chased a guy through town and all this. As soon as he got the guy pulled over, the guy said awful nasty things about his wife and swore at him and tried to get my uncle to not give him his rights after being berated. But at any rate, Paul and Silas took a beating and went to jail. They didn't have to. Why do you think? There was a jailer in there who needed to be rescued. I just thought about that this week. You got this get out of jail free card. If you're a Roman citizen, you have to be tried before you're sent to jail. They weren't. Paul could have pulled that day and said, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. But instead, he allowed himself to be beaten, to be put in the prison, to be put in the stocks. And then at midnight, they're doing this crazy thing. What are they doing? They're singing, rescue the perishing. I thought about that hymn, you know. And all the other prisoners are tolerating them because there's no YouTube in that prison. And they're just singing away, singing their hearts out. And then at midnight, all their stocks, they come open, all the chains are broken, and there's this violent earthquake. The jailer calls for lights. He's going to kill himself with a sword. And Paul says, we're all here. None of the other prisoners left either. Now, a very strange thing, this Roman jailer, who didn't realize he needed to be rescued, he was the one who beat him and put him in prison, took him to his house. I think that's illegal. I'm not sure, but I don't think you're supposed to take a prisoner over to your house for tea and crumpets. He put a meal before him, and he washed the wounds that he probably helped inflict. And he said these words, what must I do to be saved? There's a part in this, we talk about our part, there's a part in this salvation thing that we have to do. We have to ask, and we have to accept. And when Paul and Silas preached the word unto them, they and their whole household were baptized that night. And they bring them back, and then the magistrates come and say, you can leave. And Paul says, oh no, he pulls out his get out of jail free card. I think just to stick it to him, it's like, hey, I'm a Roman citizen, you guys beat me, you shouldn't do that. I said, you can leave. He said, no, you come down publicly and escort us out. They said, okay, now you may leave. Just sometimes missionaries are happy. People are happy to see them come, and sometimes they're happier to see them leave. So they left. They went to a river where they expected to see people praying, and there they found Lydia. Lydia accepted their message of rescue, but then she challenged them and said, if you consider me to be a believer, and we're talking about grace and equality, I think she pulled the equality card on them. I'm a Gentile, you're a Jew, I'm a woman, come to my house and we'll take care of you. We'll take care of your needs. So I think she might have challenged them to get out of their comfort zone, that if truly God's church is about family, and now I'm part of your family, why wouldn't you come and stay at my house? Sometimes the people we go to rescue have an understanding of what the scriptures are supposed to be like, how we're supposed to live, and when we proclaim that to them, they expect us to walk that way. So Paul and Silas agreed and stayed there. From there, they moved on to Thessalonica. And that's where we'll get into this. I just wanted to get you an update to where we were. That was Acts 16 and 17. Now, if you turn to 1 Thessalonians, we'll just get into the start of this book. If you're looking for the T's, they're all together. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. Paul and Silas and Timothy to the church of Thessalonica and God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. My wife always tells me that in the scripture, grace is almost always before peace, because you can't get the grace of, or you can't get the peace of God unless you accept his grace. And I think when we're really hurting, when we're at the end of our rope, sometimes people want to offer some help. Have you tried praying? Can I pray with you? Have you tried listening to different music? That's one of the things I appreciate the praise band so much for. I think if you go out to my car, I'm almost positive, unless the battery went dead and you turn my car on, the radio is going to automatically be on a Christian radio station. I genuinely believe what you put into your body is what goes into your head. And if you're having trouble with dreams and different thoughts, what have you been putting into your body? So the praise band, I thank you for that. I thank you for Christian radio. I think it really does make a difference. So if you want that peace that we all seem to be looking for, we need to accept His grace. We need to accept the message. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember you before God our Father. Your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, I usually had a pretty good definition for. Hope is something that we don't talk about a lot. It's the name of our mission. Our mission, if you take the acrostic, would be helping others prepare for eternity. Well, when I was in Haiti a couple different times, the last time we went with Doc Hodgman, we went to a hospital, and Doc's just, man, he's a wild guy to go with. If you think I'm crazy, he's in there with no rubber gloves, and he's touching and feeling. I'm like, Doc, put your gloves on. So some of the nurses with us said, well, what do the nurses make? I said, ask me, and I'll ask them. And they said, well, how much money do you make? I said, well, the better way you ask someone what your wages are in Haiti, you ask, what do you touch? How much money do you actually touch? And so I asked them, and they said, oh, well, we're supposed to get $60 a month, but we haven't touched anything in 5 months. Working for a government hospital, you're a nurse, you're trained, you're supposed to get $60 a month. 5 months, I think the math is somewhere near $300. They haven't touched anything. And your automatic answer is then, why are you still working here? And their answer back to you, because they said, why are they working? I said, ask them. And they ask them. And they said, because we have hope. Many people are dying here. If we weren't here, many more people would die. And we have hope that one day the government will pay us our wages. Hope. You guys really got it tough at your jobs. It's really bad. How much are you touching? Usually touch every 2 weeks at least. What if you didn't touch anything for 5 months? What if you just didn't touch anything? Nothing came. Would you still go there? Thank you. That's hope. Because what you're doing makes a difference. Those nurses, what they did, teachers, everybody, what you do, the first man who told me that worked on the highway. What he did made a difference. And he had a job. He just pulled his chest up. He was 60 years old. He said, and besides that, I have a job. Like, you know how many people here don't have a job? I got a job. That's hope. I always think of that when I read that. This is one of the most encouraging books, I think, in the Scriptures. Brothers loved by God, we know that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. How you live amongst people. We talked a little bit about that before, about how you dress. I'm not a big one on eating. If you go with me, you'll eat American food or something prepared by Miss Carol. I always think of George Bush Sr. I think he went to China. He ate a little bit too much of something. And he ended up spilling his guts on the emperor, I think. And I say, I don't want to be like him. That really doesn't give good public relations. So if you're able, I still won't let you do it because we've never got anybody sick from what they've eaten. But there are many things culturally that I do expect you to do, how you address people and how you love on people. And that's the big thing, is just to share God's love with people. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave to us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Jesus is truly the rescuer. We just get to plant the seeds. Another time with drilling wells, we'd drilled wells for 2 or 3 years, and what prompted that was a young lady who used to wash my clothes for me. She's about 12 years old. Her name was Marmoon. And at night, we'd usually, different nights, we'd go to five different congregations and speak and preach or listen. And during each night for about 4 days, on the prayer time, Marmoon was listed in the prayer time. Please lift up Sister Marmoon. That's an uncommon name over there. And I said, well, is that the Marmoon I know, the girl who washes my clothes? I said, yeah. Well, what's wrong with her? And she had gyria. Anybody need a translator for that? She had gyria. Okay, if you need a translator, she had diarrhea. I don't know why she got put on the prayer list for diarrhea, but I said, wow, we'll get some Imodium D, a couple of bottles of Culligan, she'll be good tomorrow. So I went to the store, got some Culligan water, got some Imodium D, went out there the next day with my 35-millimeter camera, and when I opened the door, here she is laying on the dirt floor, and she was 12 years old, maybe at that point weighed about 38 pounds. She was just bones. And boy, my heart gasped, and I was like, wow, we give her the Imodium and give her some water, and I thought, oh, this is way beyond this. And strangely enough, I did something really foolish. I took those Culligan bottles and I faced them towards me and her beside them, and I backed up and I had this 35-millimeter camera and I bent down and took a picture, thinking what a good picture this will be when I get home to tell how we saved this girl. But the next day she died. And man, that humbled me. And when I got home, you just can't delete the pictures. You take them to, at that point, Kmart, and they printed out in pictures. Then I got this picture haunting me. I was not a well driller before that, but I became one. So sometimes we need to see people's needs. And we drilled an 88-foot well in memory of Marmoon. And a stinking witch doctor came and blocked it up with stones after 2 years because we were giving water away free. He was one of my real good friends. And so then Ricky Whitehead, I was out to Excelsior Church of Christ, and the last message I heard Ricky preach before I went was, if your enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. Well, sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but when Andy speaks or anybody speaks, through the week I try to mull over what they said. Well, I'm on an airplane headed for Haiti with a well driller. We're going to really go and drill a bunch of wells. And this message comes to me from Ricky Whitehead. If your enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. So I get out of my seat, go back to the well driller and said, you know where we're going to drill the first well? He said, well, I hope in Haiti. I said, you know for who? He said, I hope for one of the Christians. I said, nope. Going to drill it for the witch doctor. And he turned his head like, don't you know any Christians there? You know, and Rick really inspired me with that. So we went and drilled a well for this witch doctor. 3 or 4 years later, he passed away. I don't think he ever accepted Jesus. However, his daughter, Antonia, is leading singing today in the little town of Point Gordon because the young men there were faithful to preach the message of rescue to that girl. And she became a Christian. Now the old altar where the witch doctor used to sacrifice is broken down. And there's an old well beside it that is no longer in use. But the daughter is leading singing today in Point Gordon in the Church of Christ. That's a neat story. Just because people are willing to listen to that call, like the man from Macedonia who said, come over and help us. That call could be ringing out at high school. That call could be ringing out from junior high. Come over and help us. I watched a Ninja Warrior thing or something where they run over all the obstacles, and I just watched it yesterday at my mother-in-law's house. And there was a young man there who was bullied when he was in junior high. And his mom was talking about how strong these people were. He was the first one to hit the buzzer yesterday. He went through all that stuff. But sometimes that underdog, we've just got to be there. And maybe Terry Kuzak saw that in me, that I was an underdog, that I needed rescue, and I didn't even realize it. But he was bold enough to tell me everything. I needed knowledge. I needed faith. But I needed action. Like the man on the dive boat said, hang on to that ring. He's hollering at me, and I'm sure he called me more than an idiot. But he's like, you idiot, grab that ring. And my daughters are thinking, I wonder who's in the water in trouble. Certainly couldn't be my dad. But we have to give the message, and the people who hear the message have to hang on to that message, and Jesus will do the work. And that's what I bring to you today. I like the line from the Coast Guard. I'm a Coast Guard rescue swimmer. I'm here to help. What if we just said, I'm a Christian rescue worker. I'm here to help. Many people are, I love the first song we had, when you're broken at the end of your rope, man, I'll tell you, there's many of us today that are right there, just day by day. If you look at our prayer list, there are many of us that are hurting, but none of us are so broken or so hurting that God can't heal that. So each one of you, take hope in that. Maybe you haven't touched it today, but take hope that God is there to deliver on the message he promised, and he's faithful, that he will heal you, that he will restore you, and that he will bring you into peace. But we must accept his grace. So Paul went to Thessalonica. He was only there 3 weeks. But the people were already ripe and ready, and they were already doing many of the things he called them to do, but now they were just doing it for the name of Jesus. We have many good friends, just like Paul, who are religious. They might be missing just a little bit. Paul was humble enough that he received, and the man can come up. They were kind of wondering where I'd be. I quit wandering. And I'm even taking Andy's 3 minutes, so you can come on up. But Paul was religious, but when he heard the truth of the gospel, and Ananias told it to him, what are you waiting for? You've prayed for 3 days, you've recognized your hurt, you've recognized your guilt. Arise and be baptized and wash your sins away. Then he endured all these beatings. He's one of our best testimonies that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is true, because he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. It inspired him so much, I think he had a cushy job with the Pharisees, that he left to become this missionary and endured beating after beating, so that first he could tell his brothers, the Jews, and then he could tell the whole world that Jesus died for you, because it's the truth. And he believed it. Andy and I have talked about this a little bit sometimes. Why don't we go? I had a real good friend teach me this logic. The gospel message, Jesus Christ came, he died for your sins, he went to the grave, he arose on the third day. Do you believe it? Is it true? Now at Northman, it's kind of cute, for years their chant was, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Remember that, Don? One young man stood up one time towards the end of it all and said, fellas, we got that all wrong. If God said it, whether we believe it or not, it still settles it. And I think a lot of old guys nodded their head like, young man, you're right about that. If God said it, that settles it. Now, when you believe it, if you believe it, that's when you'll go out and do something about it. James said, don't be hearers only, be ye doers of the word. Wouldn't you like to just come into a home that's just dysfunctional and say, I'm a Christian worker for God, I'm here to help? And every one of us ought to be doing that, and you don't have to go 5 miles. In Michigan, you can't go 8 miles without hitting a body of water. I think 3 miles without hitting a stream or something. I don't believe in Kalkaska County you can go 3 miles without finding a family that has a problem. And I know within this body you can't do it, because if you look at our prayer list again, you'll see people that are hurting and at the end of your rope. And you know what? That's not Andy's job to fix, because they're going through something he might not have ever gone through. But it may be your job, because you may have already been rescued by God through that very same thing. And that's what I think God is calling us to do today. And you might get beat up emotionally. I doubt you'll get beat up physically. But it's worth the beating to give the message, to have a few stories that you interceded and went to war against Satan, and God won the victory. And that's what we're called to do, regardless of the price. Paul believed it. God said it was true, but he believed it so much he acted on it. And I think our problem is, if we can be dead honest, do you believe it? And you don't need a verbal answer. The only answer that testifies to your belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ is your action. And the mission field starts right here. And old Kevin Davis told me, you know what the problem is? I can tell you the problem. He pulled a mirror out and he said, right there. We might just need to look at ourselves and start there. That could be the mission field. But grab onto that string that God's put out to us to heal us. But then take that message on out, like Paul and Silas and Timothy did. And don't forget to take that Timothy along with you. Because when we're dead and gone, Don, there better be somebody who takes your place. And that's his goal. Don's told me some wonderful stories about Florida, how he's accepted the gal with the really wild hair, and he looks forward to see her every Sunday just to give her a hug and let her know that she's loved and she's accepted and she's got a place to be. We need to make ourselves vulnerable. Let's pray. God, thanks for sending a rescue line to each and every one of us. And Lord, I'm thankful for the days that we grab onto it. Lord, help each one of us through the power of your Spirit to be rescuers, to just go out and find those needs, and to bring people to the foot of the cross. We thank you for your love. We thank you that the bold people in our lives came and shared your message with us, that we might have that rescue. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.